La primavera llegó y eso significa limpieza a tope. Ya sea que necesites comprar cositas de limpieza o cambiar tu ropa de invierno por ropa fresca, asegúrate de usar iBora para recuperar dinero por cada compra. Ahora mismo, iBora ofrece a nuestros oyentes $5 solo por descargar usando el código La Música cuando te registras. Simplemente ve al App Store o Google Play Store y descarga la aplicación gratuita de iBora para empezar a ganar reembolsos. Usa el código La Música. Eso es IBOTTA en Google Play o App Store y usa el código La Música.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I'm joined by some of those who would like to be the MEP for this part of the world. Brendan Ogle is an independent candidate. Sinead Gibney, a Social Democrat candidate. And Ciarán Cuff, who is a Green Party MEP and hopes to continue to be a Green Party MEP into the future. You're all very, very welcome.
Thank you.
Folks, and thanks a million for coming in to us. Brendan, why do you want to be an MEP?
Well, I think Dublin has been hasn't been heard in Europe for many, many years in terms of the problems that we have. And I think there is a kind of a Euroscepticism that I don't agree with. I'm kind of a bit different. I'm a kind of a lefty Europhile, maybe. There's a lot of scepticism out there. I think Europe has a lot of best practice solutions to the issues that affect the people of Dublin. I think, for example, one big issue that's close to my heart is we have collective bargaining and workers' rights across most of the European Union. We don't have it here. We have a directive passed last year, and then we're going to see the government scrabbling around at the end of the year to try not to implement it under pressure from the American Chambers of Commerce and others. And I think the workers of Dublin deserve the same rights as the workers across the rest of Europe. We have issues. We have places like Vienna, like Antwerp, like Berlin, where we have social housing, public housing, affordable housing. I was in Germany a couple of weeks ago meeting an Irish couple who moved there because they couldn't afford childcare here. And Germany, the childcare where they are in Cologne, is capped at €140 a month, 5% of salary. Is it the Portuguese dealing with the drug problem? Is it the Finns sorting the homelessness problem? We have best practice solutions across Europe we don't hear, and the people of Dublin deserve to hear about those.
Are they not arguments to be a TD or even a councillor? Yeah, well, you know, particularly about the collective bargaining issue. I mean, that's kind of been, for want of a better description, kind of solved at European level. As you say, it's the Irish government who are going to do dithering.
So.
You can't do anything about that as an MEP.
I don't think so, Ciarán, because the narrative has always been, as long as I've been around, there's a sort of unspoken narrative, sometimes a spoken narrative, that our problems happen everywhere. They don't. There are best practice solutions across Europe on the issues and other issues I've just mentioned. And the Irish people, the people of Dublin, need to be educated, need to be told about those best practice solutions, need to be given examples. So when they go to vote in our national elections, they demand better. They demand the childcare as they have it in Germany. They demand the workers' rights of Europe. They demand we get rid of homelessness like they did in Helsinki. They demand better because better is available. We're just not told about it. And I intend to change that if I get elected.
Sinead Gibney, why do you want to be an MEP?
Well, I think Dublin needs to change for everybody who lives here and works here. And I think I am the candidate and my party, the Social Democrats, are the party to deliver that change. I want to work towards a Dublin where everybody has access to decent work and decent housing. And I do believe that MEPs have every part to play in developing policy and law at European level that filters down to Dublin to make that a reality for people.
How would being an MEP increase the housing stock?
So, this is a circular discussion that I think happens every time, and particularly on housing. I mean, there are multiple things that we can do at European level to address the housing crisis. I mean, first and foremost, we need an EU-wide action plan on affordable housing. We also need to start funding social and affordable housing programmes in every member state. And you can't do that until you have MEPs in Brussels who are looking to bring Europe back to being a social Europe and to really implementing change that delivers for people. So, and then there are an array of specific issues around funding that we can access, around fiscal rules that are currently hampering member states' responses to crises like these, legislation around short let and all of those kind of areas. So I don't buy into the argument that MEPs cannot deliver change for housing. I'm coming at this election as not a politician, not an incumbent. I have leadership experience in both the private and public sector. Most recently, I stepped down as Chief Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. So also, I also have a lot of experience to bring to issues like immigration and AI. And I want to bring Europe back to that centre that it started as a place of solidarity, peace and progress for everybody. And I want it to be a social Europe, and I want to deliver those kinds of policies for our citizens in Dublin.
Ciarán Cuff, why do you want to continue to be an MEP?
Well, I love Dublin. I want Dublin to be a more livable, affordable city. And I think Europe has a hugely important role to play in delivering that. I've been Dublin's Green MEP for 5 years. And in that time, I've been delivering long-lasting solutions that help both people and the planet. And that's why I'm asking people to keep going green on Friday, June 7th. And when it comes down to the detail, there's a huge amount that Europe can do. I agree with Brendan. We passed legislation on minimum wage in Brussels just a few short months ago. There is an Economic Affairs Committee. There's a Social Affairs Committee. We can deliver both social and environmental and economic solutions that help the people of Dublin. And I think that is hugely important. And Sinead was talking about the issue of housing. I've been working on housing for 5 years. I've delivered the most significant renovation project in European history, and I've put the people who will benefit most at the core of this project. It's a greener buildings law known as the Recast Energy Performance of Buildings Directive. But basically, this will unlock a huge amount of European money from the European Investment Bank, the European Central Bank and elsewhere. But we're also working on the fight against short-term rentals. You have to strike a balance between accommodating tourists but not pushing out local residents. So with my Dutch colleague Kim van Sparentak, we've been working on short-term lettings legislation. All of this matters. Yeah. And the most important thing on housing that we need is a housing commissioner. And I think that would help deliver the funds that we need to deal with this crisis.
People keep talking about funds. We can unlock funds from Brussels. Funds is not the problem. Government had so much spare money in the last budget, they set up two rainy day funds. There's 8 billion quid just sitting there in an account.
Ideology,
there's going to be a giveaway budget in October. So this idea that, like, you know, Brussels, we can unlock funds. I'm sure we can unlock funds
in
Brussels.
But funds, money's not the problem. Because the cities, Brendan, that you quoted, Antwerp, Helsinki, really important. Vienna has been a model to the world for the last 100 years. But actually, it's Brussels where we need to move housing centre stage on the agenda, because there is a housing crisis, not just in Dublin, but in Berlin, in Stockholm, in Amsterdam. And I think we have to put this issue centre stage.
I don't think there's any way that people are going to be voted in on this election across Europe when the housing crisis is so present in every single member state without it becoming a key part of the mandate of the next European Parliament. And I think it's a real shame that Ciarán took until 4.5 years into his term to start talking about an EU-wide affordable housing
plan. I'm sorry, I spoke about housing 5 years ago. And I've worked on it for 5 years.
Specific pieces you mentioned, but only 6 months ago did he raise the idea of an EU-wide affordable action plan. So I don't think there has been in Brussels a focus on it to the degree that we need. And I think that that focus will absolutely happen in the next Parliament.
2 years ago, I addressed European housing ministers, all 27 of them, at a conference in Nice. So my track record stands for itself. Well, I've been working on housing.
The track record of the party that you're a member of, which forms part of the government in this state, is appalling. We live in a city where 68% of young people between 25 and 29 years of age are living with parents or family. 68%. The statistics in the Nordic countries are 5, 6%. The European average is just over 40%. We are so deplorable. We are pulling the European average up disproportionately. There is an ideology, a sickness in the ideology at the heart of our governments in this country. Several governments come back several decades, which has led to a scale of housing emergency. An emergency is the word. Crisis isn't a big enough word. A scale of a housing emergency that's off the charts. So I'm not listening to it's the same in Berlin. It's the same in Vienna. Yes, there are problems.
I'm not saying that is the solution, but I am saying very clearly housing is a human right. It's a social right. We have moved towards many economies
so
have moved towards seeing it as a commodity.
Stop building some then.
Thankfully, there's more housing being built this year than there has in each of the last 15 years. I think that's where we can pass legislation that tackles the vulture funds.
Brendan, and maybe you don't accept, but if we accept that the premise that funding isn't the issue, I mean, how then is Europe part of the solution to the housing crisis?
Well, Europe is part of the solution because what we done, and it's kind of unique, what we did, and we're going way back here, but what we did is we abandoned the housing market completely to the private sector. And we stopped seeing it as a social good, as a human right, and I agree with Ciarán, it is a human right, and we have abandoned it to a profit-driven exclusively to a profit-driven private sector that works for developers, it works for big landlords, it works for vulture funds, but it has 68% of the 25 to 29-year-olds in this city living on the
couch. Yeah, people know it's broken, but again, how does Brussels provide the solution to that?
But Brussels provides a solution because it breaks the narrative that we accept in this country too readily, that there is no other way. There is another way. If there's another way in Berlin, if there's another way in Vienna, if there's another way in Antwerp, if there's another way across Europe, yeah, there is another way.
And
but
I
it's
think
also about sending the right
practice
MEPs to Brussels, because I agree with Brendan that if we continue to send the representatives from our current government parties, we're going to see a continuation of the same policy, and it isn't working. So what we need is people who appreciate housing as a human right, but actually walk the talk and deliver on that. It is a focus on social and affordable housing that we need by this government and by the European Union, and that's why we need a European Union action plan on affordable housing and funds that will provide it. But there are, as you've said, actual tangible things right now that could change in terms of fiscal rules that would enable us to
I don't want
respond.
It to all be about housing, but Kieran, you wanted to jump in there, final word on this
just
issue.
Just to say, look, 5 years ago, if I had said health should be a European competency, people would have said, ah, no, it's not. After the pandemic, we realised that Europe has to do a lot more on health. I think what I've been working on is ensuring that housing is centre stage on the European agenda, not just for the European Commission, but within the Parliament itself. And as co-legislators, we can deliver a lot more on this.
Migration is going to become, or you know, to a much greater degree in this country, a European competency as well. If the government have their way now, it's going to go to a full doll vote, but one would suspect that they will have their way. How do you hope to influence, Brendan, in Brussels, the policy approach towards migration and managing it?
Well, first of all, our approach to migration in terms of the asylum seekers part of it is deliberately broken. It's not broken by accident. It was broken 20 years ago when Michael McDougall set it up to give results in 4 or 5 years' time and stick people in direct provision for profit in the meantime. It was built not to work. And guess what? We've got a war, a fascist war from Russia invading Europe, and it's not working, and we've an emergency. So in that situation, I'm in favour of migration. I'm an Irish migrant myself. So we need inward migration. We need skills. We need young people for the pensions and the public services we need in the future. But we need an asylum system that works. We need an asylum system that turns around asylum applications or applications for international protection within 3 to 6 months. And if people are entitled to refugee status, to get it and should be welcomed. And enough of this racism, by the way. They should be welcomed and embraced as part of our society. If they don't, then they leave here. That's the way it should work. That's what needs to happen. And then we need a skills-based inward migration where the nurses that run our public services that kept me alive when I had cancer are welcomed and embraced into this society as part of a new, more open Ireland. That's what we need.
And are you glad that we have signed up to the European Migration Pact?
Well, personally, I think it's an advance. I don't think we should be stopping there. I think we need to be adult here. And I just want to say this. I was asked coming in here, it's my first experience canvassing in an election, and I was asked, what does it feel like out there? You know, and if you look at your phone sometimes, you mightn't want to get out of bed in the morning. People are concerned about these issues. People are worried. Some people are angry. But most people are just looking for solutions. So we need to just drop the hate down many, many notches, and the solutions are available. And Ireland needs to grow up and embrace our international obligations, but have a system that works. You're entitled to stay, you stay. If you're not, you go.
Kieran, as somebody with experience over the last 5 years in Brussels, how much consensus is there amongst policymakers in the kind of the European capital, for want of a better description, as to how to manage this?
Yeah,
you know, with great disparity, kind of, that the Hungries of this world, the Viktor Orbans of this world, would put it that way, might have a different view than the Brendan Ogles.
Absolutely.
Thankfully.
I think the challenges we have with the far right in countries like Hungary or Italy are really problematic. But one of the challenges is that we put a huge amount of pressure on countries like Italy, Greece and Spain to take a large amount of migrants who are coming across the Mediterranean. And we do need to reform the Dublin regulation, which goes back 30 years. Part of that was achieved in April with the passing of the Migration Pact. The Migration Pact was a bunch of 10 different laws and regulations. My group voted for some of them and against others. We had real concerns about the treatment of children under the Migration Pact. We also had concerns about the borders agency called Frontex, which has really had a nasty approach to many migrants. Pushbacks in some countries, sending people back to countries like Libya. And, you know, we can't criticise the UK for sending people to Rwanda when we are pursuing and pushing people back to concrete holding pens in Libya. So absolutely we need to reform migration. We need a system that is not only fair, humane and looks after people, but it has to make decisions more quickly than it has heretofore.
Sinead, when Ciarán described his group in the European Parliament as voting for some of the measures and against some others, he kind of made a face there. People can't see it on radio.
Yeah. Well, let me articulate that face. The reason I made a face is because we saw that voting pattern in Brussels from the Green Party, and yet here they are supporting the migration pact in the Dáil as a package, which just baffles me. There's no reason why at the Dáil level we couldn't vote on a sectoral level on it and have it treat each piece as it comes, because I too have major concerns about the migration pact. I do acknowledge that it's a difficult negotiation process, and I acknowledge that there are good parts to it, particularly around data sharing, particularly around solidarity. But we have heard a lot about the far right concerns around sovereignty. I have major human rights concerns on this, and I have a lot of experience to bring to bear on this topic. And I believe that we, within the migration pact, are presenting a case really for Fortress Europe, where we are pushing towards border procedures that will lock people into Schrodinger's refugees, where they're in Europe but they're not in Europe. This legal fiction that we create. We should be working towards a humane and dignified system for international protection at both European level and at government level.
And do you suspect that is a reflection that politicians are reflecting the public mood in terms of a lurch towards Fortress Europe?
I think what we're seeing at the moment, I mean, and all the projections are that we're going to see a lurch towards the right in the makeup of the next European Parliament. So, of course, people are, I would say, exploiting populist parties, are exploiting far right, you know, hatred essentially, and fomenting division within our society. But it is being absolutely fueled here in Ireland and across Europe by failed government policies.
They have
made an absolute shambles of the immigration policy here, and at the moment, moving people from street to street and putting up barricades seems to be what passes for government policy in this area, but it has been a failure for 20 odd years, and it is a purposeful move. It is trying to deter people from coming here, and that is just inhumane and absolutely abhorrent. So it does gall me that we hear from Green MEPs that they have this vision of a more humane and dignified procedure, and yet at government level, as a government party, that is not what they are pursuing.
Ciarán, is it a shambles here?
No, I don't think it is. But I think the migration and asylum procedure in Ireland has come under huge pressure over the last 2 years. If you had said to me 3 years ago that we would have 100,000 Ukrainians coming to Ireland, you would have been shocked by the possibility. We have successfully accommodated a six-figure sum of Ukrainians who've come to Ireland seeking refuge. And on top of that, we are also accommodating tens of thousands of people who are seeking international protection. I think really, as I said earlier, we have to make decisions more quickly. Sinead referred to a difference between how we vote in Europe, how we vote in Ireland. Look, we're a small party in government in Ireland. We don't get everything that we want in a programme for government. If your party was in government, you would know a lot more about the reality of what you can get into a programme for government and what you can't. That's the reality.
And do you not think that we should be able to vote, that the Oireachtas should be able to vote on each component of the pact? Are you, because what you're supporting is the government to push it through as one.
I think the government has to work as one when it makes laws.
So you don't support that the Oireachtas should be able
have
to
a government
vote
if we had a free. I think if we had a government that had a free vote on every single piece of legislation, it wouldn't make decisions. But I think the important thing is that the government is taking a lead on providing accommodation for those most to
need. Ciarán, you might be a small party in government, but there's a very small majority in government. And you've an effective veto on the continuation of this government. And if this government haven't mismanaged the migrant crisis, then I don't know what else to
Brendan,
be doing.
What would
Let
you
me
do?
Finish, Ciarán.
What would
I didn't
you
interrupt
do?
You.
What would you
but,
do?
Well, the first thing I do is I would use public empty buildings, public buildings to house Irish people and to house those who are needing protection. The second thing I would do is I would have a rigorous policing approach, and I would have a serious meeting with the Garda Commissioner about people being allowed to turn up and intimidate people being put into army barracks, stopping them getting food, stopping them putting up tents in fields, setting buildings on fire. That's what I would do. And the other thing I would do in the major housing issue is I would have a moratorium on vulture funds, and it's not left. It happens in Canada. It happens in other countries. They would have a moratorium on vulture funds coming in here, buying up our housing. Foreign investors buying up our housing until our housing emergency is stopped. Those three measures alone, I wouldn't be taking people fleeing war into an office, handing them a tent and telling them to go down to a canal. That's what I wouldn't be doing.
We're not. We're ensuring that they have access to
They're
showers.
Counting tents instead of empty houses now, and that's government policy. It suits the government because it takes the eye off their housing disaster. It suits the government that people are talking about.
Respectfully, Brendan, I disagree with you on that. But what I do agree with you on is that migration is an asset to this country. Yeah. All you have to do is to walk into a hospital, get onto a bus to realise that if we didn't have the level of migration, we would not be able to.
Nature of it, and then he cops out when we challenge him on government policy, which has absolutely failed in terms of immigration policy.
Disaster.
I fully appreciate the numbers that have come here are unprecedented, and I acknowledge that Irish society and people in government and the state have worked towards it.
Well, you interrupted me. Well, pardon me for speaking while you interrupted
me.
After you,
the numbers that he was talking about are absolutely unprecedented. But that doesn't mean that we can't call out the absolute failure of this government.
Hundreds of thousands of empty buildings.
Yeah, exactly. Kieran, there's so many ways.
Can you remember the end of your sentence?
Tax them. I think there's not as many empty buildings as you might suggest.
But there's tens of thousands that could be available. I understand. And very few of them.
When you take on board the issues of fire safety, when you take on board the actual safety of people in them, we can't simply throw people into.
There may be in 10 months' time thereabouts an opportunity to change this government or indeed to re-elect this government. But in the meantime, there's going to be a possibility to elect who you want to make decisions on your behalf at the European Parliament level in Brussels. Brendan Ogle hopes to be one of those people. He's an independent candidate. Sinead Gibney, also hopeful Social Democrat candidate. And Kieran Cuff is a Green Party MEP, hoping to remain. So you're all very, very welcome, folks.
Thank
very, very
you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're the, then you say welcome. Thank you very much.
Well, we're good to go.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.